Welcome to Matt and Dory's Excellent Adventure. I'm Matt.
I am Dory.
And it is everybody's favorite day of the week, Sunday. Unless you're listening to this on not Sunday.
Yeah. They probably aren't.
No, I can't imagine people are. Well, first of all, you'd have to be on the West Coast because it goes up pretty late.
Yeah.
Or Hawaii. Or Alaska.
Yep. Yep.
Or across the international date line. But then it would already be.
It would be Monday already.
Monday, so. Sorry, it's not Sunday, everyone. Mostly. Oh, let me turn the AC off. It's going to get a little... Don't want you guys hearing the hum of the 70 degrees.
Yep.
Well, here we are. Another week older. Another week wiser.
Are we?
I don't know.
We're definitely another week older.
For sure. I feel like 7 weeks older. I'm very... you know, look, work was lengthy this week. Luckily, I didn't have to do any podcasts after work.
Yeah, it was lengthy.
I was in bed quite a bit at like between 9 and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And home at like
8:30.
Yeah, I know. So it was what it was. Not a ton new to report. Got to do bedtime with Henry on Friday. We got home. I got home a little bit early.
He does ask for you pretty much all day.
I mean, I would ask for me too. I ask for home a lot. I'm like, where's home? Home? Home?
But then do you say, ka, ka?
I don't. I should start
You should
that.
Because you go home in your ka.
I do. I go home in my ka.
Yeah, he says, Tita, Tita. And then we say, yes, Tita went to work. And then he says, ka, ka. And I say, yes, Dita went to work in his car. And then sometimes he runs to the window that overlooks the driveway.
Yeah, just
and like
see.
Looks out. And I'm like, yeah, that is where his car goes when he comes home.
I know that when I got home, he really was like, wanted to make sure that the car had also come back.
Yeah. He does love the car.
He's going to get really bummed out when either of our cars end up needing a service appointment or something. And we somehow come back without the ka.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that's going to be very upsetting.
TBD, guys. We'll let you know how that pans out.
He also, when he asks for Holly, his nanny, like on the weekends, mm-hmm. he says, ha ha, ha ha. And I say, yep, she's at home today. And he says, ka, ka. And I say, yes, she
lives in her car.
She probably is driving around in her car. And when she comes back, she will be in her car.
Do you think that that's what Henry thinks she does all weekend? She just is constantly driving?
Yeah, probably. Like, I mean,
Do you think he thinks that she drives in a giant, 2,000-mile loop?
Yeah, probably
on the weekend. That just like I'm leaving here, but I'm coming back, so I must drive in a large circle.
Well, I mean, he can't conceive of like her apartment,
right?
You know, that's not a place that he could imagine. So.
Should we send him there
as
to
existing,
make it, like, so he can have it in his head.
I think they went to a park in Santa Monica the other day.
Oh,
and,
that's good.
I think they might have stopped.
We went
at her
to
apartment.
A park today.
We did.
We had a big morning, everybody. I got up with Henry and tried to let Dory sleep, but you know, so much sleeping she can do when Henry's just going, "Mama, mama, mama," at like I don't know 7:05 in the morning.
It's true.
In the kitchen. Couple rooms over, but he carries.
It's high pitched.
Yeah. What did we do this morning? He wanted a lot of blocks this morning.
He's very into blocks these days.
Yes. He's into his Lego towers, which he's like, I think today he had 8.
Did he build the
No.
block tower? Okay.
No.
So I was like, that is a really high tower.
No, that was
okay.
Because he wanted the blocks and he didn't touch them. And I was like, you know, we can play with these. And I started playing with them. And then, although this morning he really pulled a fast one on me. Because I'd obviously changed him when he woke up. But then 15 minutes later, he asked to be changed again. After he had built like a 8 Duplo tall tower. Started carrying that around with him, and then he wanted to get changed. And then he left the room. He just ran out of his bedroom.
And he got you.
I was like, Henry, we came out here to get changed, remember? We want to change your diaper. And he just was like, he looked at me and I was like, okay. And then he went into his room and I put him up on the changing table. He wasn't that fussing.
Hmm.
And then I looked and I was like, hang on. It wasn't even wet. You just tricked me.
Well, you know what he does now when we're talking to my parents?
No.
If he's like, okay, I'm done with this conversation, mm-hmm. he'll start like banging on the door to the bathroom from mm-hmm. the playroom. And I'll be like, no, we're going to stay in the playroom for another few minutes. We're going to talk to Nana and Saba. And then he'll start waving goodbye.
He's into that. Right. He really does. He's like, he's waving goodbye quite a bit.
He waves goodbye to random people at the park.
If people exit the gate of the park,
he waves
to them.
And they don't wave back.
They don't wave back. And yeah, so today, this morning, we went out to the, I took my camera. Really like a weekend dad photographer at this point. Sort of what I do. Sorry, but I'm getting a spam call from a number that's fairly close to my own. So I was out there. Nice overcast light today. Perfect for taking pictures. But he was really, a scamp?
He was very scampish.
He was running around everywhere we weren't, he decided to be. And then today he's fast. Like, he's faster than you'd think. Especially if I'm like, if I have my camera bag on my back.
Right.
And a camera in my hands.
You can't really sprint after him.
I can't
him.
Really, you know, I can sort of do a light jog after him, but he's faster than a light jog. And like, Dory was doing something on the other side of the playground. She was like, you know, doing what Dory does. She's engaged with the world. I'm not. She rightfully assumed, oh, my husband has my son.
I did. I did assume that.
And he opened the gate and then he just bolted. He just ran. He was like, I'm going to go up the street. So he's like, luckily we were it was a cul-de-sac and there weren't any cars, but before he got to the actual street where there could be cars, I got him. And I brought him, and I was like, do you want to get in the car? And then he just started waving goodbye. So we got in the car. Then we took a family trip to the grocery store. First one ever.
Yeah.
Did you realize that?
Wait, first one ever? Even in the before times?
Even in the before times. First one where we were all in there together. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Because I would always, in the before times, I would often just go myself.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Just well, like, yeah, and in the before times, I feel like I didn't know if he would feel okay sitting in a cart.
Right.
But now he's like old enough to do that.
Yeah. So it was the first, today was wow. the first day we were all in a store together.
That's exciting for us.
Yeah, really, you know, how'd it go? Well, let me tell you, first thing we picked up was bread, so he just decided, I'm going to hug this bread and start chewing on it. So he's just chewing on a bag of bread. Then when I said, okay, we're done with the bread, he's good at like putting things in the cart,
mm-hmm.
like if you give him something to put in the cart. But then I made the mistake of handing him the dark chocolate-covered almonds. And while Dory was off getting vegetables, he dropped them and they exploded on the floor.
Were they not sealed? I don't understand how
sealed,
this happened. They
were sealed, but it was the impact of them dropping from the heart, height of the cart.
I see.
And then I was like, we were in Beverly Hills at the supermarket. You know, we decided to really just live it up this morning and drive to a better place.
But I would argue that supermarket was inferior.
It was, but like also like I was on my knee, like I knelt down to like pick up the stuff that Henry had thrown on the floor, and this woman comes by, is like, oh, you don't have to do that. Someone's gonna. Don't worry about it.
Another customer in the store was like, don't do that.
Someone will come clean it. And I was like, I know, but like, you know, gave them to the baby, and the baby, he's like, oh no, you're still a hero to her. And I was like, okay. And then the guy came like almost like a second later with like the big broom, and I think he was also confused by me trying to clean up a mess.
He's like, that's never been done.
Like, well, we made the mess. I thought I would clean it up. I also think it's like, you know, if Henry sees, I like him to see the consequences of his, you know, I don't even know. I don't think it was a purposeful throw, but again, I looked down for looked away for 2 seconds, and then explosion of.
Well, I mean, it was purposeful in the sense of like, he was probably like, oh, if I drop, like, it'll make a good noise if I drop these on the floor.
Yeah.
Not like I'm going to try to break the container.
Right, right. So I'm like, oh, I prefer that he sees that someone has to clean something. And why not be me? Apparently, faux pas. Faux pas at that Ralph's, everybody.
Yeah. So, you know, it was a real adventure.
But we will say the Ralph's on Doheny and
Beverly. Not great.
It's a garbage Ralph's.
Yeah.
And it's not like, and I don't mean that Ralph's is, I mean that the selection was so minimal.
I also found it to be a very cramped store.
It was very cramped, and it was like, what was it I was looking for? I was like, oh, gotta go get my reduced fat Wheat Thins. And then they didn't have any. It was just regular Wheat Thins or tomato basil.
Ew.
Let me just say, if you're out there buying tomato basil Wheat
Thins. Who was buying tomato basil Wheat Thins?
Gross on you.
Although, you know what they did have?
No,
they had a 10-pound bag of King Arthur unbleached all-purpose flour.
Yeah, that's true.
That was big. I was not expecting them to have that.
I do like the baking selection at Smart and Final. Have you ever been to their baking section? I mean, you could get like probably a 50-pound bag if you wanted.
Whoa.
Yeah. But it was really cramped, and it was like unclear where any of the lines started.
Yeah, and there's only like one person doing checkout.
Yeah. I mean, they're very nice, helpful, lovely staff. And Henry, of course, waved goodbye when we left.
Yes, he did.
It was very funny.
He also waves goodbye if you say, Henry, it's time for night nights.
Yes.
For his nap.
His nap today. Dory's like, okay, Henry, I'm gonna go get ready for nap. And then he just looked at me and was like, bye bye. And then he just like, you just watch him get whisked away by you.
No, I didn't even have to whisk him away. He ran into his room.
No, I mean like picking him out of the chair, eating.
Yeah. And then he just ran into his bedroom.
Yeah.
But he did the same thing today. He's been getting very emotional before nap.
What do you mean? Like he didn't care for your song, or he did like your song?
Well, so I was like, let me see if it was the song. And I start singing the lullaby song. Mm-hmm. And the same, like his little lips started quivering.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, his eyes, he started getting a little teary eyed. And so I stopped, and then he clapped, which is usually his sign for like, keep going. So I was like, okay. So I like kept going, and he was like, very weird. And I was like, oh, little sensitive emotional Henry.
He's, you know, he's like Keith on the pottery throwdown show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's really emotional about things.
Keith is an intense person.
What is the show called?
The Great Pottery Throwdown.
Is that what it is?
I think it is.
Yeah. Okay, that's what it is. We've supplemented our Bake Off with Pottery Throwdown on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Which seems to be just like a Channel 4 competition show that aired for 3 years at some point.
You know, usually we don't talk about the Great British Bake Off until the end of the show, but we did get an email that I do just want to read. There's no spoilers in it.
I see. Okay. So, you know, this is unlike us.
It is unlike us.
I mean, I could very easily right now have us take the break and come back from the break.
Ooh, with the email. Read the email. Okay, let's do that.
We'll be right back.
All right. Can you turn off your notifications?
I'm not done. I didn't hit stop yet.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Now they're going to know that I didn't turn off my notifications. Honey, what a foolish way to begin a podcast. How do I do that? That's this button. Yeah. Okay. We'll be right back for real this time.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Are you ready to get active? Well, think Bombas, the better basics that take sweat-wicking, blister-preventing, friction-free movement seriously. Look, they finally admitted it. It's in the ad copy. Golfing is among the activities that Bombas is proud to be a part of. And nearly every time I golf, Bombas socks are a part of my golf game. In fact,
same for today, tennis. Same for tennis, oh, Matt.
I had to wear the high ones today because it was 37 degrees.
Wow. I bet you loved those soft, breathable materials.
I loved literally everything about them, including their fun bluish-green color. Look, nice. I've been talking about Bombas forever, guys. Socks, underwear, t-shirts are the number one, two, and three most requested items in homeless shelters. And that's why for every comfy item you purchase, Bombas donates another comfy item to someone experiencing homelessness. Performance socks are made with technically advanced features like proprietary hex tech. Oh, that makes sense now that the hex is stitched in there. Mm-hmm. Oh, it incorporates sweat-wicking.
See, the light bulb's
yarns.
Going off.
Ah, supportive strategic zone cushioning, built-in ventilation to increase airflow. Bombas are a gym bag staple that are made to last and a golf bag staple. And if they experience any wear or tear, Bombas will replace them for life. I didn't know that.
Wow.
Hold the phone.
Wow.
But I was like, I got to get some socks replaced. And then I realized none of them are in need of replacement. Their performance socks are very colorful and comfortable, and you'll want to wear them even when you're not working out or hitting the links. No matter how you like to get active, Bombas has something for you. Gripper socks to help you stay balanced in Pilates and bar, or Dory's dad, whose favorite thing is socks that have grippers on the bottom. Left, right foot contoured running socks give you a perfect fit that won't slide in your shoe. Merino wool socks keep you comfy and supported all day while on the course, baby. Bombas has a 100% happiness guarantee. That means you're covered for life. Reach out anytime. Their happiness team will help facilitate easy returns, exchanges, or replacements. Go to bombas.com/adventure. Use the code adventure for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/adventure and use the code adventure at checkout. Okay, we're actually back. If you want to email us, you can do so at dorymatt@gmail.com or mattanddory@gmail.com. You can call us 413-461-BABY.
You can also email us a voice memo.
Yeah, if you don't feel like dialing, punching in one for the country code, you know, international long distance charges, you want to avoid them, just email us a voice memo.
Or if you just want to leave a clearer voicemail, you can email us a voice memo.
And if you want to send us an audio cassette, that's weird. Don't.
Okay,
we were talking a bit about Bake Off.
Yes, and we got this email that was reminiscent of a conversation that you and I had last night as we were watching Bake Off.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I'm writing to you about the Great British Baking Show, mostly because I don't know anyone else watching the current season, and I need to share this thought with someone.
Are we weird because we refer to it as Bake Off, which is its actual name?
I don't think so.
Okay.
You brought up how the cake busts were all awful, and wow, they really were. But after watching the most current episode, I'm wondering if this is the worst batch of bakers of any season.
I literally said the same thing to Dory.
And I was thinking the same thing. They all made terrible brownies, and brownies aren't really that hard. Anyway, thanks for being the people I can email this to, and thank you for all of the podcasts you all do. My week is filled with your voices from this podcast, Forever 35, and Star Trek TNC.
Wow, thanks for enjoying the Shafrira catalog.
Yeah, thank you. Stephanie, we had the same thought.
Yeah, I mean, none of the cakes looked good. Is that true? None of them looked good? Like, two of them looked pretty good.
But not, like, amazing.
This was cake week, guys. No, chocolate
this
week.
This was chocolate week.
Why'd they make cakes? Because it's chocolate week. Whatever. But, like, you think back to previous seasons, and their showstoppers, like, are very intricate. Like,
yeah.
Someone will build, like, a Ferris wheel out of candy or something. Yeah. But this year, it all seems very blah.
I agree.
So.
And the brownie situation. This is even this. I mean, I guess this is kind of a spoiler, but it's not really a spoiler.
In Chocolate Week, the signature bake was a brownie, and I was just like, no one made a brownie. People attempted brownies. Everyone was, let me tell you, Prue and Paul. I would say they're being kind this year.
I agree.
Honestly. But like everything they ate, they're like, this is more of a cake than a brownie.
Or like, this is raw.
Yes. We can't eat that. We can't eat this. It's raw. But I will say it's been, other than last week, I have found the send homes surprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also like, I'm trying to figure out if like the second worst person is always going to go home the next week. I've been noticing that on Pottery Throwdown.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think especially in the first few weeks, like it becomes clear like who the real bottom people are. Yes. Although there have been a couple people on Bake Off who like started at the bottom the first week and now are like pretty good.
Find their footing.
Yeah.
I would say, this is other update news from last night. We were going to go to a different place, but we ended up getting pasta again.
Yeah. Update for everyone. I'm sure they're all on the edge of their seats.
No, but that, my real update was going to be about Bo last night. So,
oh, my God.
So we have an automatic gate that we open when people are delivering whatever, you know. So it was we got Postmates last night. We got some food for dinner, and that was at like, I don't know.
8:30 p.m. Late.
And we watched the rest of the pottery show and then, you know, started the wind down for the evening. And Bo wanted to go outside. So Dora was like, don't leave the door open. There's bugs. I was like, okay. And then I let Bo out. I came into my office, left the sliding door open. And I see Bo come by every now and then, just like jingling by. Don't think anything of it. And then I go, I'm trying to remember how.
I feel like you came inside the house.
I did after, when I got, after I got him.
Oh, I see.
I'm trying to remember how exactly I figured it out. I think I went out to go like, he's probably ready to go in now.
Oh, and you couldn't find him. And then you saw someone.
I looked down the driveway and our gate was still open. And I was like, oh no. Bo's gone. And I was like, Bo. There was a guy walking by. And he's like, what's up? And I was like, oh, no, I was calling my dog. Bo. And then I'm like, I go outside onto the street and I'm yelling for Bo. And then I hear his jingling. And I turn and he's coming from the far back of the driveway. He never left the yard. He just la-di-da'd. Like, hello, what's up? Hi, Dad.
You need something?
And then I was just like, I was like, so, first of all, actually, you know, what happened was I saw him coming. As soon as I saw him jingle, I closed the gate from outside and then came in and I was like, let's go inside, Bo. And then I said, hey, guess what? The gate was open and Bo did not run away. So, really proud of him.
Yeah, me too.
For not running away. Thank you. That's a Bo update.
Yeah, it's also, I also have wondered, like, before, if the gate was open and he saw someone walking by who he didn't like, would he freak out? Because he often barks so aggressively when he, like, when someone suspicious walks by.
Yes, or would it come down to, like, just utter confusion and shock and not really knowing what to do.
Right.
Because Bo really does strike me as an all bark, no bite kind of dog.
Yeah. Except.
Like that one time the pool guy came and Bo was like,
yeah.
What do I do? This man is in my territory. I'll just stand here and bark.
Although in our old house, he did run towards
the
people who parked in the back.
Yeah. Look, the point is, I really messed up yesterday, guys. I should have had that gate closed. I don't know how I didn't do that. I mean, I do know how I didn't do it, but I don't know. Also, don't know how I didn't check.
It happens.
It's happened twice now.
Yeah,
that's the second time. And also, Bo has yet to leave.
That's true.
Yeah,
so, that is true.
Thanks, Bo, if you're listening.
Ruff, ruff. Okay, thank you. All right, should we get to some emails?
Besides Bake Off, yes.
Yes, okay. All right, this is from Anonymous in the UK. Hi, Matt and Dory. Hope you're doing well this week. I've written to you before. Please keep me anonymous this time as I need to share a few details about my dear friend in the hope that you and your listeners may have some advice for me. My friend did a successful round of IVF 4 to 5 years ago and had a beautiful baby who was growing into a kind and thoughtful young person. She had 3 viable embryos at the time, and so having used one, there were 2 on ice. A couple of years ago, she and her husband decided to go for baby number 2, but unfortunately, after 2 cycles with the frozen embryos, no pregnancy. They thought long and hard and decided that perhaps they were just meant to be a family of 3. They made peace with it, and my friend refocused on her successful career. She's a total rock star in her field. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to April of this year, when the UK was really beginning to settle into lockdown. Surprise, she's pregnant. Despite initial reservations, they decided to continue with the pregnancy, checking for any fetal abnormalities along the way, of which there have been none detected. The baby is feisty and is obviously determined to come into the world. My friend is now more than halfway through the pregnancy and is struggling to feel excited about the new arrival. She still doesn't feel quite as though it's happening to her. There will be moments where I think she's feeling okay about it, and others where I worry that she's going to struggle to bond / suffer with postpartum depression. I will be there for her as much as our restrictions will allow when the baby arrives, even if that means all I can do to help is to make sure they have groceries and prepare meals for them as a family, and of course, being available to talk on the phone, respond to messages, etc. But I really feel powerless right now and find myself worrying about what I say to her in case it's just completely the wrong thing. Do you or your listeners have any suggestions for how I can be supportive for my friend, and if there's anything I should be saying or doing that have not yet? Thank you in advance. You guys are awesome. Lots of love to sweet Henry and Beau. Best wishes from Anonymous in the UK.
That's interesting. This sounds like prepartum depression.
Yeah. Which is a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Totally a thing. I wonder if she has a therapist she can talk to.
Seems to be your answer for everything.
Well, I mean, it's a good answer.
Yeah, it's a pretty good answer.
Thank you. I mean, yeah, it sounds like you're...
also, like, it's a hard time to be pregnant.
It is. It's a very isolating time to be pregnant.
Confusing time to be pregnant, I would assume.
I mean, the other thing is, like, as someone I know likes to say, don't borrow trouble. Like you're saying, you worry that she's going to struggle to bond / suffer with postpartum depression. Like she might and she might not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't think you need to preemptively worry about that for her. Like I think you can respond when the time comes if you see signs of postpartum depression. But I don't think you need to like preemptively worry about that now. And it seems like you're doing all the right things. And, you know, you feel powerless right now. Like, I don't know that it's like...
up to you to be empowered.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's not your pregnancy. I know it's your really good friend, but, you know, it sounds like she has a supportive partner and that you're doing all the right things. And it's not your job to, like, make sure that she... I don't know. It just sounds like you're doing all that you can. And I know that this must be hard for you as her friend, but I think you are being a supportive friend right now. So that's what I would say.
Yeah. Also, I mean, if anyone has like gone through or is going through this and has some advice that is more sage than ours, feel free.
Please do. All right. This is from Jenny. Just a brief but heavy question for you both. With all the talking and debating over whether you guys should start a new IVF cycle, wondering why you don't try to at least just transfer your mosaic female embryo and see what happens. Did I miss something? Most mosaic embryos either don't take or result in a healthy baby. I believe the statistics say there's a 40% chance it will take versus 60% with a normal PGS-tested embryo. Why not take the chances and transfer the mosaic and only then decide what you want to do if it doesn't take? Seems like it would save you a lot of money and aggravation if it does actually stick. All the best, Jenny, living in a 650 square foot apartment in Long Beach, California, with my husband, science baby, and toy poodle.
That's a lot of people and a poodle in a small Long Beach apartment.
It is.
Or house. I don't know.
She says apartment.
Oh, well, first of all, it's not Mosaic. We always said it was Mosaic, but it's not Mosaic. Correct?
It has Yeah, it has a segmental
deletion. On the long arm of chromosome 20-something.
Two.
Deuce, deuce.
No, just two.
Chromosome deuce.
Yep.
what does that mean? We don't know. Would that it likely be... I mean, again, I don't... Why did we not do that?
I mean, I brought it up recently and you said absolutely not.
But didn't they say no, they wouldn't do it?
No, they never said they wouldn't do it. Dr. Beck doesn't particularly want to do it.
Right.
But if we told her that was what we wanted to do, she would do it.
Are we sure about that?
Yeah.
I see. Do you want to do that?
I mean, I said I wanted to do that, and you said no.
Just because I thought they wouldn't do that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, they won't. They will, I mean.
You're sure?
Yes.
I think you should find out.
Okay.
That's the answer. The answer to the question is, I'm under the impression that they won't do it. And that's why we haven't done it. Thank you. I mean, honestly, that's but
if they will do it, would you do it?
Go ahead.
Okay.
I mean, I'm saying go ahead, like, because I have nothing to do with it at this point.
That's not true.
What do you mean?
I mean, you would have a baby if it were.
No, of course, then I would have something to do with it. The actual act of doing this, I don't. It's not up to me. Do you know what I mean? And I said we weren't doing it because I assumed that they. I remembered that I. Incorrectly, I'm guessing.
She doesn't. She would prefer not to do it.
Right.
But
why would we make her do something she prefers not to do?
Because she would rather we do another retrieval and try to get a normal embryo.
I mean, oh, ideally, sure, a normal embryo would be the way to go.
Right.
Hmm. Very confused. And you wouldn't want to do it now. I'm thinking timing-wise.
Why?
Because you'd have, if it worked, then you'd have the baby in the middle of a season of television. And I don't know, what would I do?
Okay, well, we can...
I'm just saying out loud. This is the podcast for it.
Yeah. People, I mean, I would,
like
my
TNC.
My preference would be to do a retrieval, but you don't want to do that. So,
yeah,
here we are.
I know. Wait, so you don't want to transfer it?
No, I do want to transfer it because you don't want to do another retrieval.
But I'm, if we transfer it and it didn't work, your desire to do another retrieval would not go away.
Probably not.
So, I think that's the real rub here.
I mean, the real rub is that you don't want another kid. That is the rub.
Yes, but the more important one is that you do.
You keep saying that, and yet you don't do anything to make that happen.
I know. I'm really trying to wait you out.
Yeah, you are.
I know.
It sucks.
We're circling here. I'm just like...
It sucks.
It's like a Mexican standoff. We're all pointing our guns at each other.
It's not really like that at all.
Isn't it the same thing?
No.
Mm. Who blinks first?
I mean, I've blinked first.
No, I have. I will. I always blink.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
What are you talking about? You have absolutely refused to do anything to try to make this happen.
That's not true. It's so hard. I mean, I don't... Especially now that, like, we're looking at preschools.
Mm-hmm.
It overwhelms me.
It is overwhelming.
The idea of another one.
Yes, I hear you.
You know, I honestly don't feel like I'm there enough for the one. let alone attention to two. So that's sort of part of where I'm coming from.
Well, they're not like, Henry is still at an age where he just needs constant attention and vigilance, and they kind of grow up, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean, of course I know that they grow up. That's what humans do.
Yeah.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying that, like, it will be hard for a finite period of time. Like, it'll be very hard for a finite period of time, but that time, that period will end.
Right, I know, but, like, I'm worried about the stress of that period of time on us. As individual people who are in a relationship together.
Mm. I hear that.
And also, like, I just don't, like, I want to be able to give what I can give.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hi, we're back, everybody.
Hello.
Dory's still in charge.
I am in charge of this podcast.
And our life.
Yep, okay. We have a voicemail.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's playing.
Oh, well, it can't play until I hit this button. Go ahead.
Hey, excellent adventurers. So, I am doing a voice memo because I'll probably have a lot of starts and stops because that's how my brain works. I am calling about the whole second child issue. Dory, I kind of understand how you feel. I think I've sent you an email about this and not read on the podcast. Okay, so I have two children. My oldest is currently 22. My younger is 13. Yes, that's about 9 years difference. Because I was just bound to determine that I was only going to have one child because we had her way out of our life plan or my life plan. And so one and done, I thought. And then right about 8 years old, I just had a baby fever and my husband was in total agreement. So we had our second one and I love my second child. I love, love, love this child. He is amazing. But, I have moments. I'm 45 with a 13-year-old, and I have moments where I think to myself, I could be so free right now. I could traveling. I could be spending my money and not worrying about saving up for college education. I wouldn't have to worry about staying in one location so that my child can have 4 years at the same high school because I feel my child is owed that because everybody else in the family has gotten that. So, yeah, that's just my take on it. And I understand you saying you're not going to fight Matt. Life is hard. It's hard to have everybody be happy. But I appreciate you both. Y'all are hysterically funny. I listen to you not because I have any issues with fertility, but it has helped me understand the issues more. And honestly, I followed Matt over from the Nerdist podcast because I missed the Nerdist podcast at one point and went looking and found y'all. So I love y'all immensely, and I live in a 2,400 square foot home with the aforementioned two children, a husband, two dogs, a bunny rabbit, and that's it.
Mm, two dogs and a bunny rabbit. Mm. Sounds pretty cool.
Thank you for that.
I mean, I could totally see that, but I think in our case, it wouldn't be such a big gap.
Yeah.
But believe me, I know. Like, the idea of, like, we've sleep-trained Henry. We have succeeded. We have done it. Congratulations, us. he sleeps 12 hours a night. Yes. And then the idea of like, oh God, this one doesn't. Or this one is causing us to have... I mean, Dory can't function on less than 9 hours of sleep. So, it'll be tough. I'd be like, oh, we could be sleeping right now. But we had to have another one. Hi.
Thank you. All right. We have another voice memo sort of along these same lines.
Hi, Matt and Dory and Henry and Beau. It's Jessie calling from Vancouver, BC, Canada. I'm about to go into my second round of IVF. The first one produced 3 blastocysts, but none were normal. I'm 42 years old, and my partner and I are trying with donor sperm. We've been trying for a couple of years to get pregnant. And before that, I was married for 10 years. And before I got married to my ex-husband, we talked about having children. He was fully on board, but then after a couple of years of marriage, he sort of rethought things and realized that he actually didn't want the responsibility of being a father. And so we didn't have children. And at the time I wasn't financially or personally or in my career, I wasn't confident or well resourced enough to be able to bring a child into the world on my own. And because I was married, I had made these vows, and that was my ultimate priority at the time. But then as I got closer to my 40s, and as our marriage got increasingly harder and harder for us to maintain, it just became apparent that this was really important to me and that we would be better off as friends. And so we separated, and that has been actually an incredible relief. He is a very obliging person, and also had just completely different values than I did. And, well, not different values, like some of our values are shared, like kindness and generosity, but he doesn't want the kind of family life that I wanted. He wants a kind of bachelor style of life. And I think it took a long time for him to recognize that and for me to recognize that it wasn't just a phase. And I guess my message is that I think sometimes in marriage, it's just really important to realize that you might inadvertently be centering your own life and causing another person's life to be compromised in ways that are really, really damaging and traumatic. And if that person's life is as important as your life, then you need to give that person space to realize their dreams. And if that means Dory trying IVF another time, or you using donor sperm, I think it's really important to consider the weight of another person's life as being as equal to your own. And I'm just so glad that my husband was able to do that to me as his, ultimately as his parting wedding gift, I guess.
That's it.
So we're going to get some square footage there. I know it. Bye, honey. Have fun.
Okay, you're going to go live your bachelor life?
I guess so. Is that what that was telling me to do?
I think it was telling you to either let me live my dream, right, or get out of town. Which will you choose?
I mean, can't I let you live your dream in town?
Yes.
How do I do that? I don't understand.
I mean, I think you know what she was saying.
I don't, honestly.
I think she was saying, like...
I think what she was saying was, you should make your life as important as my life and see my feelings and not want a second child, right?
Well, I think she was saying, I should see that for you, and you should see my side of things.
I do see your side of things.
And I see absolutely your side of things, for sure.
Yeah, but there's no... Here's the problem. Our sides can't... They don't seem to be able to coexist currently in the sense of, like, it's either have a kid or don't have a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, so, or rather a second child, obviously.
Not right.
A, Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think you should go live your bachelor lifestyle, Dory.
All right. See ya.
Bye. Leave me the baby.
Okay. You're going to be the cool single dad.
Oh, I'm going to be the best single dad ever. I hope he can occupy himself for 14 hours a day.
Yeah, me too. Well, you'll have Beau.
That's right. Wow, I get Beau and Henry?
Yeah.
What a deal.
I got to live my bachelor life.
I get it.
Yeah.
Thank God for spousal and child support.
Yeah, you'll be paying me.
What? Yeah. Ow, no. Okay.
Let's hear another voicemail.
Hi, Matt and Dory. I am listening to the pod. I can't remember which episode it was, but and actually there's probably a few of them this way. But where Matt gets down on himself and he just he kind of sounds very similar to myself and the way that I talk to me. We're very down. We don't really give ourselves much compassion. My therapist and I have been talking a lot about this lately, and I haven't exactly gotten to the bottom of why I'm not very compassionate towards myself, but I'm so compassionate towards everyone else in the world. But she did say something that helped me a lot, so I wanted to put this out there just in case, Matt, it gives you any solace. But she asked me what little Tiffany, my name's Tiffany, by the way, she asked me what little Tiffany would need from me. And when I was thinking about it, the light bulb went off. And little Tiffany really needs me to be kind to her because not very many people were kind to her. So Matt, maybe a little Matt needs you to be kind to him. I don't know. Just a thought. Love you guys.
That's an interesting sort of thought exercise. I gotta tell you, little Matt would be pretty stoked right now.
Because he has 1,000 guitars.
He has 1,000 guitars and you know, a couple of PlayStations, set of golf clubs, a lot of computers. And a cool car.
But those are all external things.
Oh, no. Yeah. What? And, no.
Yeah. And do all those things bring happiness?
No, they do not. That I can tell you.
So what would...
I think, honestly, a full life, I think a full, you know, with my family, that brings me happiness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really enjoy our Saturday evenings on the couch. It's nice to sort of ignore everything else and sort of not even go into my office.
Yeah.
Again, my office, I don't, you know, this week, first time ever, I didn't go into my office.
I know.
Since we've lived in this place.
Well, for a day you didn't go in.
For one day.
Yeah.
But, you know, that was a good night. We watched pottery and I went to bed early.
Yeah.
Dory goes to bed too late on the weekdays. Honest to God, she does.
I agree. I do not want to go to bed so late.
I don't understand it. Like, I don't know when it happened.
It crept up on me.
It's really wild. Like, I think, like, it should be a red flag for you. If I come back out into the living room and I say, I'm going to bed.
Oh, and, for sure.
Like...
It is a red flag.
Because you just go, okay, I'll be in there. And I'm like, all right. And then I like keep your light on your nightstand on.
I know, which is very nice.
Because I think to myself, well, she's not going to be able to see anything. And I certainly don't want the big light going on.
Right.
So, she's like, I don't even understand. I don't know. She's like, I'm playing Mahjong on my computer, on my iPad till God knows when. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, it's not like on a weekend night when I can sort of kick in some help in the sense of like, stay asleep, I'll deal with Henry. Like, I can do that. Like, today I was like, okay, she's still asleep. I'll go get him. No problem.
I actually went to bed earlier last night.
Yes, and you slept much longer than me.
Mm-hmm. Well, the night before I went to bed way too late.
Yeah, and the night before, here's what happened on Friday night, everybody. I'm playing poker. And I was so tired that I said to the game, I was like, guys, I can't. I gotta go. I tried to go to bed at 8:54 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They peer pressured me.
Mm-hmm.
So I stuck around.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said at like 20 minutes before 11, I was like, 11 o'clock, I'm out. And I stuck to it.
You did.
Left the game. And I came in the house. And what do I find? I find wide awake Dory mahjonging a computer. And I'm like, you realize that I was just playing poker with real people. And I'm going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to bed and she was still mahjonging.
That's true. I am getting very good at mahjong, though.
That's fine. But it's also like stunning to me how
the tables have turned.
How late you're staying up. Especially during the week. Like if I'm going, I would say 4 out of 5 nights last week I was in bed way before you.
You were. It's true.
I mean, that's crazy, guys. You know my sleep pattern. And I'm still getting, like, I'm still lucky to get 4 hours of sleep. I mean, I do have to wake up so early, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dodo, what's your intention this week?
Well, my intention a couple weeks ago was to go to bed earlier. And then.
You failed.
And then I was like, I failed my intention.
You failed miserably.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an easily achievable intention, I believe.
It is. It is.
So why don't we restack your intentions here on this program?
Okay.
And let's talk about it.
Okay.
What are you thinking? What are you thinking? What are your intentions for, not the whole week, what are your intentions for the next 2 to 3 days?
In terms of my sleep?
I didn't say that.
Okay. I would like to go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
That is definitely, it really affects me when I go to bed too late.
Is there any sort of way that I could help you? Your intention.
That's very kind to offer.
Uh-huh.
I feel like you do help by like pointing out, you're like, it's very late.
Yeah.
Why are you still awake?
I mean, if once that clock is 2 digits in front of the minutes, it's like, she needs to be in bed. I don't understand.
It's true. I really need to be, like, the lights need to be out definitely by 11, preferably 10:30.
Yeah. Okay, so why don't we set that as our intention for the next three evenings?
All right, that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay.
So we'll have lights out at 10:30.
Okay.
It'll be like camp.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
But I can't read with a flashlight, and I can't read my like little reading light under the covers.
You can.
Oh, I can?
You can, it, with a Kindle only. I only allow a Kindle. The book light's too bright.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
I bought her a Kindle because it has a backlight. And then she's running around with real books, like.
Well, because people send me
spotlight.
Because people send me real books.
What is up with publishers not figuring out to send an ebook?
Look, I prefer an ebook. Whenever they ask if I would like an ebook or a regular book, I say, please send me the digital galley.
Yeah.
But sometimes they just send the books.
Yeah. No, not sometimes. All the time.
Yeah.
I would say we get 7 books a week.
We do. We get a lot of books.
And they're all addressed to Dory.
That's true.
And they're all. Not they're all fucking galleys. They're not even.
No, some of them are the actual books.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
The one I just read was the actual book.
Oh, that's right. You had the actual book and the UK version of the actual book.
Yes, I did.
That's right.
I got two hard copies.
That about wraps us up.
It does. We have
can
one.
You believe it?
Yeah. Well, we have one more thing that
it,
we have
or
to
see it,
read
or understand it,
which is, "Hi, Matt, Dory, Henry, and Beau. I thought you might be amused to hear that the Goldbergs has recently been the subject of some controversy on a Facebook group called Strategies for Teaching Chemistry Online.
Hmm.
There is a quote molecule drawn on a chalkboard in the background of one scene, and all of the chemistry professors in your audience were cringing. One even turned it into a test question for their students. Screenshot attached. I have the poster's permission to share with you." Anyway, who commented said they love the show, even with the questionable chemistry. Amanda, P.S. We're in 1,800 square feet in Portland, Oregon, with a husband, chocolate lab, and 1 2-year-old science baby.
You know, it's funny. Sometimes there's like, if you ever see music on the back of the board on the Goldbergs, I wrote it.
This is really funny, actually.
Episode of Goldberg's destruction of drawn on the chalkboard during a scene where Barry, with Barry and his JTP friends. Although there are so many things wrong with this molecular drawing, what is the only impossibility? Let's see. Oxygen must have lone pairs. Hydrogen cannot have two bonds. Carbon cannot have lone pairs. And carbon cannot form four bonds. I think one, two, three. It's only forming three. I'm going to go with the hydrogen cannot form two bonds.
All right. Well, tune in next week to find out if Matt still remembers high school chemistry.
The funny thing about that is, so sometimes when there's like nothing, if you ever see a scene in the music room and there's music written on the board, I've done it. Because whatever was on there. So our art department does that stuff. And sometimes the things on the board, like, so, there's been a few things that I've gone up there and I've been like, this is insane. Like, an apostrophe was not in the right place or something on a sentence. And I just was like, I went up there and I fixed it. But then when it comes to we always say on the show, I'll handle all the letters from so and so when it's something that's going to take a little more time to fix. So it's very funny that we actually got a letter.
Yeah, you did. You got a letter.
So I'm gonna let Corey, our production designer, know that I've had to answer a letter from the chemistry community. Don't let it happen again.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Oh wait, we didn't do Patreon.
Say hello to our patrons. So let me tell you about Patreon, guys. You can go to patreon.com/excellentadventure. And there you'll find that this podcast gives out more content if you support the show. At the $5 level and above, you'll get a bonus episode and your name read on the podcast each month as a thank you.
It's true.
If you want to sign up now and get the entire back catalog of God knows how many episodes, you can do that.
It's so many episodes.
So here's the deal. Thank you, everybody. And thank you to the following people in particular. Sabrina Stern.
Sarah Prager.
Mackenzie Erickson.
Martin Hedegaard Peterson.
Magana Prasad.
Kathy Hill.
Alec Meredith Fletcher and Florence Babel.
Ashley Cecil Lee.
Frederick Roa.
Michelle Kitz Miller.
Ariana Perry.
The Holterman Clan.
Anna Crowder.
Carly Moore.
April Cherry.
Linnea Wynn.
Sherry Olson.
Why isn't it scrolling down?
Christopher Fanagi is the next one. I can tell
you
that.
Thank you. Carrie Mills.
Aaron, here comes the good.
Christina Smith.
Andy Pavlik.
Chinami Worth.
Diane M. Martin.
Janon H.
Madeline McCarthy.
Claire Plaucha.
Anon.
Lisa Bove.
Anonymous.
LHN.
Katie Allen.
Ainsley.
And Freya. Thank you all for supporting the show. Everyone, stay tuned for more podcasts in the coming weeks.
Bye.